The Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors. Go check them out at ifa.com. A rising tide may lift all boats, but every year some vessels in the stock market spring a leak. Broad diversification ensures they won't sink the whole portfolio. Mad Money Machine 45 Mad Money Machine. Sometime at the end of October, beginning of November time frame. Hello everyone, this is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome back to the Mad Money Machine, although it's a little belated, and I'll apologize to you for that. But you don't really mind all that much, and neither do I. We're going to talk about ETFs versus mutual funds. A lot of people have that question, and we're going to answer it once and for all right here on the Mad Money Machine. We're going to talk about the stock that will replace the two empty spots in the stocks that will replace the two empty spots in the Cramer portfolio, and some more stuff. X-ray dog. Blazing light beneath the bay. Yes, a blazing light beneath the bay here at the Mad Money Machine corporate campus and towers. You can hear the ducks flying off there in the background. Let's get right into it. Okay, here's the deal on the Cramer Portfolio Smackdown. Remember, I've got two openings there. We had GM that we sold, and we had Pepsi that we sold. And we haven't replaced it with anything. Well, now, why haven't we replaced it? And doesn't that hurt the performance of the Cramer Portfolio versus the ETF portfolio? No. See, now the idea here is I am trying to emulate what it would be like for an investor to listen to Jim's stock picks and try to trade the stock picks and make more money. So part of that emulation includes timing the market, right? And with the market going up as much as it has, you've got to wait for a pullback before you buy stocks, right? And we've got to find a way to make the Cramer portfolio make some more money, don't we? Pitiful 0.1% gain for the year, compared to the ETF portfolio, which is up 14.7%. 14.7%, and we haven't done a thing with it. We don't have to worry a thing about the ETF portfolio. We just plopped our money in there at the beginning of the year and never looked back. Didn't have to read company reports. Didn't have to listen to conference calls. Didn't have to read the Wall Street Journal even. We just invested in capitalism across the globe. All right, it's about time we talk a little bit more about this ETF portfolio. First of all, what is ETF? Exchange Traded Fund. It's a mutual fund-like thing that trades like a stock. Instead of having to put your money in a fund that only gets priced once per day at 7 o'clock at night or something, this ETF, it trades like a stock. So you go out and you get an account at some discount brokerage, and then you put in your market order or your limit order to buy so many shares of this ETF for a certain price. The original idea here was just to buy as much different asset classes as we could, and I tried to mimic somewhat the Index Funds Advisors Index 100 portfolio. So we have a mixture of large cap stocks, small cap stocks, mid cap stocks, micro cap stocks. We have real estate investment trust. We've got the European, Pacific, and emerging market indexes. And oh, so clever me, I decided we needed something like a precious metals in there, which is stupid. But anyway, I put 10% into Vanguard Materials. That hadn't done so bad, up 13.1%. But come to find out, that's probably not necessarily a right thing to do. And if I had it to do all over again, I would probably want to weight this a little bit more towards small cap value. Probably pick, instead of the Vanguard VB fund, I'd pick the VBR. But, you know, at the beginning of this whole thing, the focus wasn't so much on the exchange-traded fund portfolio. That was just a kind of a benchmark. That was kind of the set-it-and-forget-it method of investing. We were going to find out how much more money we can make by picking the right stocks, being real smart and clever, and picking the right stocks from Cramer's Mad Money and Real Money shows, and beating the market. And, of course, that hasn't worked out. And it's shown me over the course of the year what a waste of time it is to read company reports and listen to conference calls and read the paper and do all this rule number one calculating nonsense. I'm telling you, just invest in a broad diversification of index funds in these different asset classes. Set it and forget it. And go off and do something productive with your life. Go out and get a job and make some money. That's the best way to invest. You know, the most frequently asked question I get here at the Mad Money Machine is, what's the difference between an ETF and an index fund? And so I thought, instead of me going out and Googling the answer, which you can do, that I would ask the experts. I would ask Mark Hebner at Index Funds Advisors, can you tell me the difference between an ETF and an index fund? And is there an advantage to investing in one of these over the other? And that's exactly what Mark Hebner responded with. He said, the question should be, what's the difference between an ETF and a mutual fund that both track the same index? That's even more interesting then, isn't it? Well, Mark says that a mutual fund's share price is determined once per day at the end of the trading day, and it issues or redeems shares at the end of each trading day based upon how much cash flowed into or out of the fund. Now, an ETF, on the other hand, basically has a fixed number of shares and trades throughout the day like a stock, so share prices can be affected by supply and demand. And then he breaks it down into advantages of ETFs over mutual funds and disadvantages of ETFs over mutual funds. And here are two advantages. Number one, they are a little less costly to administer than mutual funds, so annual expense charges can be lower. However, the annual expense ratios of the better mutual fund families like DFA and Vanguard are already quite low to begin with. Number two, ETFs have a slight tax advantage in that shareholder activity. Now get this one. Shareholder activity doesn't generate realized capital gains in the fund that would be passed on to remaining shareholders. Although very small, ETFs can have capital gains resulting from index reconstitution. But the big thing is, you know, a mutual fund, if people get scared of whatever fund they're in and they sell their shares and you're still in it, well, the people running the mutual fund, they've got to sell the stocks then, because the people sold their shares in the mutual fund. They've got to sell stocks in order to give people the money they want. And by selling stocks, they realize a capital gains, and thus you may have a capital gains tax to have to deal with. Now, the disadvantages of ETFs over mutual funds. Number one, the fact they trade like stocks and have no early redemption fees is touted as an advantage, but it's truly a disadvantage because it encourages people to use them as gambling tools for market timing, sector picking, and style picking. And have you been paying attention, folks? It's a 12-step program for active investors, right? We went over this. All of these are terrible approaches to investing. Number two, A brokerage commission is paid every time shares are bought and sold. Number three, for less liquid ETFs, the bid-ask spread can impact the investor's returns. Yeah, just like a stock, you know, just like a stock that's thinly traded. What people are willing to sell it to you for is higher than what people are willing to buy it from you for. So there's a larger spread between those two. And number four, an ETF's share price can get out of alignment with its underlying net asset value. Okay, the actual value of the stocks can be different than the value of the ETF, and that can further negatively impact investors' returns. But Mark sent me a follow-up to that. He says, you know, the most important question is not really related to ETF versus mutual funds. The most important question is, what index do you track? He says, this is far more important. It all gets back to your exposure to small and value risk factors. In fact, if I were to choose the portfolio smackdown all over again, I guess one of the reasons, too, that I chose ETFs was I was originally thinking that I would track prices throughout the day instead of just at the end of the day. I thought I would have some sort of online tool that you could look at to, minute by minute, track the comparison of the Cramer portfolio's prices versus the ETF prices. And that's why I chose ETFs, because those prices are traded and updated throughout the day. And it made sense to compare those one for one. Well, since it didn't work out that way, and I'm only updating them at the end of the day anyway, I think if I were to do it all over again, knowing what I know now, I wouldn't choose ETFs. I would choose mutual funds. And especially knowing what I know now, I would probably choose just to track it against the IFA Portfolio 100 and forget about picking ETFs or picking different mutual funds. Because I think DFA funds have the best thing going as far as the ability to efficiently invest in the right indexes. And as we can see there, it's not only beating the Cramer portfolio by a whopping margin, but it's beating the ETF portfolio by a percent or two. Well, thank you, Mark Hebner, for answering those questions. Thank you, listeners, for asking the questions. I hope this helps clear up some questions that you have about ETFs versus mutual funds. And happy investing to all of you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. A 12-step program for active investors. Step 11, risk exposure. My name is Paul, and I'm an active investor. I'm almost home. I've taken the risk capacity survey, and now I'm ready to put my money to work. I'm looking for a brand new day. I've been finding what it's all about, and whatever I can hear you say about the risks in the market, I'm learning to ride it out. Going a long way home. I'm just trying not to scream and shout. And when I'm feeling like I'm all alone here, I'm trying to ride it out. Can't you see? I'm learning to be feeling around, trying to stand my ground here. So carry me home. Carry me home.
All about, and whatever I can hear you say, I'm learning to ride it out. Going on a long way home, I'm just trying not to scream and shout. And when I'm feeling like I'm all alone, I'm trying to
you understand risk capacity, the next step is to match the results of the risk capacity survey with a specific risk exposure. There is only one risk exposure question that needs to be posed. What mix of indexes provides the highest expected return at your level of risk? Getting to that answer involved concepts discovered by academics who methodically applied the scientific method to this problem. You want a simple formula for your risk exposure? Try these four concepts. Number one, obtain data with acceptable confidence levels. This requires at least 20 years of risk and return characteristics of indexes. Number two, select several indexes that best capture the three factors that explain 95% of stock market returns. Those include indexes from the United States, international, and emerging markets. And within each area, select indexes that focus on total market, small cap, and value stocks. Number three, assemble those indexes in such a manner that you obtain global diversification, tax management where applicable, and high expected returns at each level of risk. And number four, considering the taxable status of each account, allocate the index mutual funds that best match the indexes. In taxable accounts, use tax-managed index funds. In tax-deferred accounts, use standard index funds. If you don't understand what to do now that you know your risk capacity, if you don't know how to get the right risk exposure, we're here to rescue you. We're here to bring you home. Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again? Somewhere you can rescue me? Rescue. Well, this week's book giveaway question was a whole lot easier, obviously. A lot of people were able to make a comment instead of recommending a blue chip stock. I appreciate you going out to the site and making comments. And, wow, I appreciate all the nice words you had to say about the last show or two. And really appreciate you saying those things. Got an email, too, from Doug. And Doug points out, thank you, Doug, that... I got the tool in the crib wrong last week. It's not caps.motleyfool.com. Well, anyone who's tried to go out there and see that could tell that. It's caps.fool.com. Doug also says, I completely understand how you could spend 14 hours or much more a week on your show, website, etc. Well, you know what? Dirty little secret is last week, I think it only took 7 hours, so I'm getting more efficient. He says, I previously worked with a lot of people who would have done better for themselves if they focused on their primary job rather than 1, writing movie reviews, 2, running eBay, quote, businesses, 3, teaching, quote, learning annex and adult classes at the community college, and 4, getting real estate licenses, and 5, doing night MBA programs. He says, maybe you could appease us addicts by offering to send a trigger or pointer if you decide to publish on a more ad hoc basis. That's a good point. You know, one of the things I learned at the Podcast Expo is some podcasters actually have a sign up for our email newsletter link. And I didn't purpose my registration like that. And I guess that's kind of unfortunate. I've been telling people that if you register, I wouldn't spam you. It turns out a lot of times the purpose for registering is to get spam, get notices of when the newest show is out and all that sort of stuff. But I'm not going to do that now. If I do that, I'll have a separate registration. Or if I ever do that, if I ever send out spam, that I'll also send out a unsubscribe link right in the big bold print, right in the middle of big old button that you press. It says, if you don't want to get the emails like I promised I wouldn't send, then click this button, and it would be that over that quickly, I guess. I don't know. But Doug says, you have a great show, which is still my favorite podcast by far. And holy cow, little old me. I appreciate those words. What am I watching on TV now? You know, I've been a subscriber to Netflix for a long time, and always looking for something to watch with the whole family. And so we rented season 1 of Green Acres. Oh, it's a hoot. No pun intended with Hooterville. We're through the first side of the first disc so far. And I remember watching Green Acres when I was growing up. I never saw them in order, I don't think, because they were always reruns and syndication, and along with Gilligan's Island, I guess, and Beverly Hillbillies. Well, it's a hoot to watch it from the very beginning and see the progression, and there's actually a thread that continues from story to story oftentimes. And Lost, and the one I'm really liking this season is one apparently a lot of people are liking, and that's the heroes. These people with they discover that they have some kind of special power all around the world, and they're in the midst of finding out about each other now, finding that each other exists. It's kind of a hoot also. And like I mentioned on the website, one of the reasons that I'm late with this show is, in fact, that I've been wasting a lot of time in front of the TV because I bought a new TV. I went out to one of, like I've said, my favorite store, Costco, and plunked down the money to buy one of those Sony Bravia 46-inch LCD jobs. That's real nice. It's got the full 1080p resolution. The one thing I'm concerned about it with is, you know, I've got the Xbox hooked up to it now. And Xbox is going to have an update soon that'll allow it to output 1080p through component or VGA cable. But if you get that HD DVD device that hooks up to the Xbox, they're saying that it won't put 1080p out through the component cables. It'll only put 1080p out the VGA cables, and the Sony Bravia doesn't allow 1080p in through the VGA cables. So fortunately, if that doesn't work, Costco has their lifetime return policy. And you just may see me taking advantage of that. Hey, let's give away a book. So I thank you for all your comments. And I got another comment from Board of Directors member Mark.
Hey, Paul, this is Mark from West Point, New York, calling to get that free book. What'd you think of Sawyer's pacemaker in the Lost episode last night? I think we ought to put one of those hypothetical pacemakers in Jim Cramer on Mad Money and calm him down a bit, get his heart rate lower. Let me know what you think. Anyway, keep up the great work, and I'll keep listening. Thanks a lot. See ya.
Yeah, thanks for calling in, Mark. Yeah, Lost. I think they're saying that something's going to happen finally in the next show. So I'll be interested in watching that. And yeah, about the pacemaker, that was kind of a cheap shot in that show, wasn't it? I guess maybe some people haven't watched it yet, so I won't say anything. I will put you, Mark, in at positions 8 and 9, replacing the entries there in the comments, 8 and 9. Just go through some of the other comments real quickly. Fish43 says, I wanted to mention that I think Rescue by Zach and Sarah is the perfect song for the 12 Steps. Nice pick. Yeah, I keep failing to mention that is Zach and Sarah from the PodSafe Music Network, although I think I originally put it in the show notes, but I'll do that. I'll make more mention of that. It is a good song. He says, I'd love to get involved with IFA and was excited when you mentioned they might reduce their minimum investment. Please be sure to let us know if they do. And do stay tuned here or at their website, certainly, because it may be very interesting to watch their space and see if they do, in fact, reduce their minimum investment. And wow, wouldn't it be fantastic to get in on those DFA funds? By the way, there was an article in Forbes magazine, October 30th issue, I think it was. The title of it was The Index Insurgents. It says the race to build a better index fund is on. David Booth, who runs Wonky DFA, and I don't know what that means, Wonky DFA, says the answer is to favor small value. Well, where have we heard that before? It says David Booth believes that he can beat the standard S&P fund, and for the past 25 years he has done just that with automatic pilot funds that resemble S&P funds but tilt toward stocks of smaller companies and or tilt toward value stocks, ones that trade at lower multiples of book value, earnings, or dividends. It says the conventional index fund, by its nature, is compelled to load up on stocks newly added to the index, even as other index funds are crowding into the same names. DFA dodges that problem by constructing its own baskets, typically with several hundred stocks. And it says, more important, standard index funds must ignore fundamentals like assets and earnings in favor of tracking the market's passions of the moment. That's because the S&P 500, or a fund designed to track it, is weighted by the market capitalizations of the companies in it. Thus, an index fund getting a slug of new money in early 2000 was obliged to put a large amount of cash into Sun Microsystems. Oh my gosh. Because Sun was a favorite and enjoyed a market capitalization all out of proportion to its sales or earnings. And those late arriving investors fared poorly. How have D of A's customers fared? Pretty well, at least over long time spans. Says the group's largest fund, DFA U.S. Small Cap, has outpaced the Russell 2000 by 6.5% in annualized return over the past 10 years. The world is coming our way, says Booth. You will get some argument from index aficionados, notably John Bogle, founder of Vanguard Index 500, about whether superior performance of value stocks or small stocks is an eternal verity, not just a cyclical phenomenon. But there's no denying DFA's appeal these days to the institutions running pensions funds and to the financial advisors steering individuals' portfolios. Well, in case you don't already know, our sponsor here at the Mad Money Machine, Index Funds Advisors, the 20 different portfolios they construct are made up of funds from DFA. And no wonder they've been performing so well. Getting back to the comments now. Rav Jim says, Paul, love the show, went through withdrawal this past week. I'm wondering, what can we do to help you, whether it be clicking on ads or calling into the show? I think that several would like to show appreciation. You know, that is the kindest thing anyone could say, is just offer help. And I'm not asking for any help at all. None at all. I'm just so happy that one person out there is listening, that's all that I need. Yo Mama 2000 says, what did you decide to do with the Kramer stock portfolio, Kramer portfolio stock pick? We need to send in a new stock suggestion pretty soon, because Kramer changes his mind so often. All our picks from last week may soon be outdated. That's so true. Oh, but I said, you know, and I've told her the bit about I'm still waiting for an entry point, and she agreed with that. Foo Fish says, looking forward to your next show. You should release it this Friday. That was past Friday. And call it a birthday present to me. Well, happy birthday and happy Halloween, Foo Fish. Mac Yoda bought Apple many years ago at $7 and Lockheed at $19 and have let it ride for 20 plus years. Well, if you're going to buy a stock, that's the way to do it. Just sit there and do nothing with it. Now you're saying, though, you got me thinking, what should I be moving my profits from the above? Should I be moving them into an index fund? You know, that's a hard question. I guess the bottom line answer is there. Is it worth paying the capital gains taxes? And is it worth reducing the standard deviation that you can suffer through by selling the individual stocks and then putting them into an index fund? Of course, if it's in a retirement account, then you don't have to worry about the capital appreciation. And therefore, I'd say, yeah, do it right away. If it's in a taxable account, then you need to be a little bit more concerned about it. And if you have a tax advisor, that'd be a great question for them. They'd be able to tell you whether it's best to sell it this year or next year, or sell it in stages, or, you know, sell some losers to offset the gains and that sort of thing. Snag Proof says, just discovered your show while looking for info about Jim Cramer. Love it. I'll be a regular listener from now on. Thank you. And finally, the Terminator says, hi, Paul. I've been out of town for the past 4 months. Holy cow. Yeah, if anybody needs to go home, speaking of going home, rescue me, take me home. It's the Terminator. Says he had the opportunity to download and transfer all the podcasts to CDs and listen to them all from my car and dinners in small town America. It became the voice in the midst that kept me grounded until I returned to safe and sane Las Vegas. Oh my gosh. Well, congratulations on going back home, Terminator. Thank you all for comments again so very much. Let's go out to random.org and we'll pick a number between 1 and 21 and press get numbers. The number is 8. And I just told you that number 8 was Mark from West Point, New York, the caller. His call got 2 entries into the comment area, and I replaced my own entry, number 8, and the second Yo Mama entry. So congratulations, Mark from West Point. Call me with your name and address using the same phone number that you used to call me the last time. and I will have this book on its way to you right immediately. Congratulations. Hey, you know what? If any of you, first of all, for you new listeners, I haven't yet said what the book is. I know sometimes I do that. The book is called Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors. It's written by Mark Hebner at indexfundsadvisors.com. It's the biggest book you'll ever see, the tallest and widest book you'll ever see about investing. It's the first coffee table book on investing because it has all these original paintings in it that depict various aspects of the 12 steps for active investors. And what's the book all about? It convinces you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the best way to invest your money is to set it and forget it in a broadly diversified portfolio of globally diversified index funds. And for all of you folks that have already won this book, or for anybody else that has ever read this book, you've bought a copy, you've read it, why don't you send me your comments on it, good or bad? Yes, there might be bad comments about this book, and I want to know what they are, because you know what? Mark might update this book sometime in the future, and I'm sure he'd appreciate getting your feedback on the book. If you haven't won the book yet, if you haven't bought the book yet, please go out to madmoneymachine.com, and when you see a picture of the cover of the book, click on that. Take you out to amazon.com. From there, you can buy a copy of your very own, read it, highlight it, dog ear the pages, get those sticky notes and put it in there. And when you're completely done with the book, send your copy off to Jim Cramer. He needs to read this book too. I want to thank you so much for listening. So very, very much. Like I said on the previous show, I am back to work now. I'm engaged in something really interesting on my job. Also, the other thing about working is it pays money, and podcasting not so much. So when I can find a crack in my schedule, I'll try to slip one of these podcasts in and get it out to you. I hope you're having as much fun. I hope you're having a tenth as much fun listening to them as I am doing them. Because for me, it's just a real treat. It's a hoot. Which reminds me, I need to get back to my TV and watch the second side of Green Acres. So this has been Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money. And it takes exposing your money to some risk to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next time. And visit our sponsor at IFA.com. They're Index Funds Advisors, matching people with portfolios. And I'm going to leave you with the entire song now, called Carry Me Home, from a band ironically called Virginia, who are located in London, England, from the GarageBand.com. Well, thanks very much. We'll see you next time.
I've been finding what it's all